The house thus settled itself for another night, much as it had for almost a century. Its long porches reached out to embrace the turbulent weather that had disturbed the family's homeland just a few hours before. Idiosyncratic creaks and pops echoed through the structure as ancient nails and beams gave up the heat collected from the watery October sun. Yet while the building and its servants may have surrendered themselves to sleep, the two principals found such relief impossible to attain. She could not imagine that he could be pulled away from her again, even though she knew that it was impossible for him to remain in this time. His absence would disrupt every thread, every mote that swirled in the complicated universe governed by the wardrobe. Only the fact that her husband was in Washington permitted the soldier's presence next door. As she lay there, counting the hours until dawn, she gazed around her son's room that was sporadically illuminated as Zeus threw another bolt. The furnishings were so distinctly male, yet still revealing Tom's sensitive nature. On the one hand, his polo mallets were resting in hooks on the wall facing the window. Two cricket bats were also propped in the corner. On the other, one of her favourite canvases, his oil of roses on fieldstone Deauville, looked down upon the foot of the bed. How she prayed for his safety. What would he have made of the young man resting in his parents' bed? That young man tossed one way and then the other. Each crash of thunder returned him to that night, back to Lewes, to the moment when he could still count sight as one of his senses. But artillery was only thunderous at the moment of impact. The low grumble beyond the horizon, sometimes punctuated by flashes of grim lightning, was the first sign that a lethal load was on its way. If the shell had your number, your fate was foretold by a whistle that increased in pitch and volume. If not, the sound deepened, and the moaning faded as the charge found another unfortunate target. Then there was the wind. Its gusts shook the house like a terrier would a captured rat. Again he was thrown back to the front, where the ground quivered pudding-like under the pounding of Hun cannons. Sudden drafts chilled his cheeks and chin as the pervasive blasts overwhelmed well-mited windows. How foolish we were, to allow phony national pride, the ultimate manifestation of masculinity, to destroy the system that had kept the peace for 100 years. Now the blood price that will have to be paid to erase this, man's original sin, pride, will be steep indeed. He knew that the coming parting was utterly necessary. He had to return to his own time, lest he become another Kitty Bennett, now lost in the wardrobe for 70 years. He could see grand sadness when she spoke of her next elder sister. He could not subject his family to that sort of grief. There was a point around midnight when she found herself sitting on the edge of her bed. Had she dozed? Then, responding to a dream, had she risen in pursuit of she knew not what? The pulling she had felt for 20+ years was roiling her insides. The demand was too intense. Her bare feet touched down on the bedside throw rug. Gathering the extra quilt around her shoulders, she glided across the mahogany-stained floorboards to open her door, just 4 steps down the hallway to his. She rested her forehead against the panel, trying to control her breathing, but with little success. "Stop. Do not proceed. You will break your heart. And his." In his darkness, he first perceived her scent, roses rushing over cut grass to his nose. He must have lost the sound of the door opening beneath one of the crashes of the storm. Somewhere, feet or inches away, she stood, silently. The weight of her eyes in the nighttime darkness bore on him. Her gaze played up and down his body, and pushed his aura like a hand, gently stroking a cat's silky coat. He could hear her shallow, quick breaths, signalling intense conflict. But she did not move to close the gap.